Blog Talk Radio.
And good morning, everybody. Dan Meadows with the Tap Three Times Radio Show, doing a special rebroadcast show of EDC, Your Everyday Carry. This is EDC 2.2, because this is going to be a rebroadcast of our show. Originally aired on September the 1st, 2017 at approximately 18:30 hours. Had some technical difficulties with it, some audio problems with it, so sound quality was, in my opinion, quite bad, so I figured I'd redo the program. I do understand that probably some of this information that I put out on Friday may not be the same that I'm going to put out today, but I am going to put out enough information to fill the whole show. I'm going to do some different changes about it. There's some new radio and music. It's going to be added into the flavor and the mix of this as well. So I just want to sit back. And my music's still playing in the background. There we go. All right, so just sit back, relax, and I hope you enjoy the show. I do want to welcome you to the Tap Three Times Radio Show. This is, again, the rebroadcast, but it is the second actual airing or show of the original. EDC, the Everyday Carry. Everyday Carry, basically, you know, you look at different people, what do they carry with them every day? I'm going to read this to you, and then we're going to go forward as it is. Your Everyday Carry, or EDC, for many of us is different. Or is it the same? What a person, man or woman, carries in their pockets daily, whether it's on-body or off-body carry, can and many times does make the difference in survivability or even in self-defense encounters. So what is it that you carry in your pockets or in your bag daily? You have a gun, a knife, a flashlight, maybe even a fire starter. What about your cell phone? You carry that every day? Of course, you carry probably your keys. Get in and out of your home. Get in and out of your vehicles. If you use that type of transport, I want you to do right now, sit back and enjoy the show. It's things that we're going to talk about will either help you or not help you to survive the threat or even the unknown. I want to do a quick shout out to our neighbors and friends over in the states of Texas and in Louisiana. Texas and Louisiana, Texas mostly been hit very hard with flooding and the effects of Hurricane Harvey. And a lot of volunteers over there, and we appreciate all of their efforts. If you haven't made a donation either through the Red Cross or some other charitable organization, you want to make sure that that money is going to reach those people. Not going to be lining someone's pockets. So just, you know, as you can, if you can't get over there to help, why don't you give a few bucks or some provisions or whatever. A lot of collection areas around towns, around cities, that stuff will get over to those much needed places and for those victims over there. Also want to give a shout out to our heroes. It's going to be our military service members, our first responders, our security personnel, and our volunteers, wherever you are in the world, we thank you. God bless you, and you know, stay safe as much as you can. I also want to give a moment of silence for our fallen heroes in whatever line of duty and responsibilities that you've had anywhere in the world. God bless you, and we'll now do a moment of silence. We thank you for that. This is Dan Meadows with the Tap Three Times Radio Show. Today's show is going to be on Everyday Carry, EDC, as some of you call. Now, if you've done any kind of research, anything at all on EDC, if you type that into your, let's say, your search engines, your Bing, your Yahoo, your Google, you're probably not going to come up with a lot. There are a couple of articles out there, a couple of people have written on it, but there's not a lot about it. Yet each and every day, we citizens of the United States or maybe even elsewhere has an everyday carry that they carry with them, you know, pretty much day in, day out, every day of their lives when they go out and about outside of their own homes. Some people even have an everyday carry that they have inside their own homes as they walk around their homes or properties, maybe even their businesses as well. They have something that they carry with them all the time. We're going to kind of break that down a little bit and determine what it is that you might carry. And of course, you know, depending on your region, depending on where you are, and they always talk about location, 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 geographically speaking or geotargeting speaking, you may carry something different every day than the person does either across the state, across the region, even across the nation, maybe even in a different town nearby you. You may be carrying something different. But everyone has a lot of similarities about things that they carry. But when you're talking about everyday carry, talk about survivability, talking about things that you might need just in case something happens. I encourage people, if they're doing or thinking about everyday carrying, is preparing for it, thinking about what it is that they might truly need to have on them. And then I'll kind of outline a few things that, you know, it's suggestions or recommendations to carry with you. I do want to do something here real quick, and we're going to talk about thing right after the break about preparing for hurricanes and upcoming events, and I'm going to cut the break right now. Okay, coming back off break, this is Dan Meadows with the Tap Three Times radio show. What I'd like to talk about now is, you know, we just went through a very devastating storm, Hurricane Harvey, that's hit both the Texas and the Louisiana coast. It's done some damage in other areas, but not the catastrophic damage that you see in these two areas. The state, the federal government has all been deployed and has reacted appropriately to that. And there's been people who are just absolute volunteers from many states around the states of Texas and Louisiana that has come down to help, volunteering their own time, putting their lives in danger and at risk. But when we talk about hurricanes, I mean, there's been a lot of hurricanes that hit the United States coast in our history. Some of the more ones that did a lot of damage. You had Hurricane Sandy in the New Jersey area. You've had Hurricane Hugo in the South Carolina Charleston area that hit. I was part of that, involved in law enforcement during that time. You also had Hurricanes Katrina, Gustav, Ike, Wilma that has taken place. Many other places that don't have to worry about hurricanes also has other things to worry about as well. You have earthquakes. You have just a number of other things that goes on with that. Fires like out in California. There's been some even in around the studios of the Tap Three Times radio show over in Western North Carolina. A lot of fires and such take place. Tornadoes take place. Hurricanes take place. A lot of things that that affect us. You go out on a daily basis, you know, what is it that you're going to carry with you? And in hopes that you make it back and you don't have to deploy or use those particular items that you carry with you day. Currently, right now, we're going to talk about upcoming news and upcoming events that's taking place. With Hurricane Harvey right now, and as reported earlier today, you've had at least 43 deaths involved in that. There's over 45,000 people in shelters. in that area that didn't get out of harm's way. And you have over 136,000 structures that are being involved that are registered currently in like Harris County and some of the counties that are surrounding that have been affected by this. Now we're talking in the next few days, we're talking and keeping an eye out off the coast of Africa and coming through and to, in through the Bahama area, possibly they're in the cone, if you will, at the Bahamas. You have, I think it was Lesser Antilles and other places along that line coming up. And the Hurricane Irma right now, as of about 3 hours prior to the show, was a Category 3. They're expecting it to strengthen even more. It's going to weaken a bit. But as it gets into the warm waters off the coast of the United States, they believe that it's going to increase as well. I have a lot of listeners who are out there in North Carolina, and it's not a time to panic. It's a time to prepare. So you absolutely want to prepare for what may be coming. And as a side note on this, I just do want to add, you know, talking about everyday carry and what you carry with you, preparation is one of the biggest things that you need to for you to understand and should concern you and your family members or your neighborhood or your village or your town or your city along that lines. And this should be keeping an eye out or for what's going on. Even though many of us live in the mountains of Western North Carolina, doesn't mean disasters won't hit. Also doesn't mean that floods won't happen. If you live in the lower lying areas of the counties around here in Western North Carolina, too, could be subject to some type of catastrophic flooding as well. Not to the degree that you would see off the coast of or on the coast of Texas and Louisiana, but you're talking about some flooding. And regardless of the amount of water that comes in, flooding is flooding. And if it endangers you, if it endangers the lives of your people and your family, your friends or whatever like that, then that's catastrophic and stuff you need to absolutely prepare for. I'm talking about getting prepared. I'm talking about having some type of preparation plan for the what ifs. You know, if you got documents, if you have you know, important papers, birth certificates, baptismal certificates, you know, driver's licenses, you know, vehicle registrations, all this kind of stuff that you need to have and put together, quite honestly, you need to put it together, put it into some type of Ziploc bag and have it in a go bag as you need it. Now, what if an event happens while you're away from work? Do you normally carry that stuff with you all the time? Probably not, but if you've safeguarded it, if you try to put some type of, you know, water-resistant Ziploc-styled bag around it, making sure that it doesn't leak, then you might be able to have protected it a bit. But when you look at some of these homes that's been devastated, you know, the high winds and such that comes along, if a tornado, you know, items can be scattered for miles and miles and miles. So you really need to think and try to plan that out as well. So with Hurricane Irma coming, you know, it's on the horizon. It's not far off. And at this time, it's my suggestion or recommendation that you do try to take some kind of precautions ever before that event happens. Hopefully it doesn't hit anyone on the coastline. Sometimes they go and skirt right up the coastline and really not hit. But I've watched them go all the way up the coastline and hit our friends up in the Canada regions and Nova Scotia regions and like that as well. And so, you know, I just hope the blessings are upon everyone and that it doesn't happen. We're going to cut out the break, and then we're going to come back in just a moment. And we are back. This is Dan Meadows with the Tap Three Times Radio Show, coming to you live Sunday morning, September the 3rd, 2017, from our studio offices in Western North Carolina up here in the mountains. Beautiful day outside, beautiful temperatures, love the fall weather. Leaves will start be changing here soon. If you haven't had an opportunity to be in North Carolina and look at all the leaves and the Blue Ridge Parkway areas and stuff like that, I highly recommend that you come over this way. Today's show is on Everyday Carry, EDC. We talked about having things geographically speaking, regionally speaking. You know, if you're on the coast, you may need something different from those who are in the heartland and the plains of the United States as far as what your everyday carry. But there are some similarities that people carry with them. First and foremost, you probably have a cell phone. Anytime you leave out with your cell phone, it's highly recommended that you have it charged up as much as possible. And if it's not charged up, at least take something with you where you can charge it in your vehicle, or you can charge it when you get to work or at school or wherever it is that you happen to be at that time. Keep it as charged up as much as possible. Do know this, depending on your location, and you probably have realized this as well, that cell phone doesn't always work. It doesn't always pick up the signal. Sometimes you lose signal, you drop signal, and like that. Western North Carolina, we go out to the Pisgah Education Center out there, which we do the Wildlife Resources Commission types of training. When we go out there, you lose signal, you lose cell signal. That being said, if you have things on your phone like a GPS, if you have things on your phone like a compass or something along that line, it may or may not work. So you might want to think about having other things that might be able to orient you or guide you or help you find your way out certain areas. I know I've gone to places using my cell phone as a GPS, and then it tells me, you know, it's almost like it looks at you and you're off the corner of the world. You dropped off the side of the world, and it can't tell you exactly where you're at. There has been times in using a GPS, both on a phone or one that's in my car, and it tells you direction to go, and you end up out in the middle of a cornfield or something in Iowa. That's absolutely happened when we were deploying officers out for the floods in Iowa back in 2008. So, these things don't always work. So you have to think about other things that may help and guide you along. If you know anything about orienteering or being able to find your way, you might want to break out the old map. Your vehicle should have a map in it. If you go on hiking, should have a map of the area with you at all times. When you talk about hiking, you talk about some of the great places up here in North Carolina that you can go for hiking and trails and such as that. That GPS system, depending on the heights and the peaks of the mountains, may or may not pick up the signal that you're looking for. So you may want to make sure that you have a good map with you, that you probably have it in a Ziploc type case in your back or go bag or whatever that you got with you for that day, your hiking pack, whatever, just to have it along with you just in case. I also suggest a good compass. Now, I've got a compass on my phone. I actually have two different compasses. It gives me elevation, gives me area, gives me latitude, longitude, which helps if you're trying to get, if you're hurt, injured, and you need to give a latitude, longitude for people to try to find you. I mean, if you say, well, I'm on this mountain ridge and there's trees around me and such as that, well, that you're talking about most of Western North Carolina. So, you want something that might be able to give the latitude, longitude, your elevation, exactly where you're at. So somebody can use maybe a topographical map or even their GPSs and locators to try to, get into you, some of the rescue squads and such that's in the areas. So not everything on your cell phone is going to work. I do remember during Hurricane Katrina down in the Waveland, Mississippi area, following that catastrophic event, that there was only one cell phone that worked. We had people there that had AT&T, they had Sprint, they had a number of other carriers at that time. I happened to have an old flip phone. It was a Verizon flip phone, and it was the only one that worked. It was the only one that worked in the area. So the people that were assigned to these particular areas that I was, relied on me to be able to use the phone so they could call back home and let everyone know that they were okay. You know, I could do a whole show, and I probably will in the near future, on disasters and survivability. I helped co-write a book on disaster response, law enforcement security-related response to these particular areas. There's a lot of material out there just to be able to do that. But we're back on the EDC, the everyday carry. So think about what it is that you carry. You probably carry a wallet with you. You probably carry maybe a flashlight with you, maybe some type of watch. Many people just use their cell phones for the watch, but what happens when your cell phone, the battery discharges and it dies down, and now you can't even tell time? I find a lot of people that don't wear watches anymore, and then they ask you what time because their cell phones are not operational anymore. Think about something that's like a fire starter that you're carrying with you, a knife, a Leatherman or multi-tool type device that you may carry with you as well, just in case that you need something along that lines to help you through the time. How about do you carry your medications with you? How about if it's an upcoming event, like a catastrophic event, the potentials of a hurricane or tornadoes just kind of pop up here and there. But if you know certain catastrophic events are going to take place, have you contacted your doctors or your pharmacists? Make sure you have extra of the types of medications that you take with you, and just say, look, this is just in case. This is something added. Some are, a certain type of class of pharmaceuticals, and you have to sign for them, and they will only dispense so many at a time. I understand that, because you do have some people that will take the pharmaceuticals and turn around and sell it, which is against the law. But if you're talking about an upcoming event, you may want to think about that. Also, thinking about everyday carry with you is that, do you carry those meds with you? Have you got them with you if you needed to bug out, if you needed to leave out? Do you also have something that's like a fire starter, matches, waterproof matches, some type of waterproof encasement for your matches on that? Do you have maybe a magnesium fire starter or a lighter, something along that lines? Do you have identification with you? Do you have ID in case some catastrophic event takes place? I always suggest and recommend as well, you have some type of journal or small notebook, something that's going to write with as well, like a pen. Have that with you also, even a pencil, because sometimes pens will fail on you. But a pencil and a knife, and you can whittle that down and be able to use that pencil quite often. For those of us who even knows what a pencil is, not a lot of people use pencils anymore. What about a Sharpie? It's an everyday carry. Sharpie is probably a good thing to have. If you had to write a message, if you had to leave someone a message, if you were hurt, severely hurt, leaving a message, what if you didn't have your ID with you? You could mark on your arm or whatever who you are and along that lines. What about medical alert systems, the medical alert bracelets or necklaces that are have? What about for those of you that have that device that can notify people in case you're in trouble, that you've fallen, you can't get up, you hurt, whatever? Those type of devices is a good thing to have with you as well. Now, part of my everyday carry is an AM/FM styled radio. When we were down at Hurricane Katrina, on the ground after Katrina, second day on the ground after Hurricane Ike, so I lived through the follow-ups and the aftermath of these catastrophic storms blowing through. But most of the television stations were knocked out. There was one radio station only, that was broadcasting in the early hours and early days following Hurricane Katrina. And had it not been for an AM radio, not an FM, an AM radio, being able to listen to some of what was being broadcast out there to keep you informed, you may not know what's going on. And in a time of desperation, communications is very important, because you know other people are out there. You've seen all these movies and the end of the world kind of movies and stuff like that. And that's not what I'm talking about here. But what I am talking about is some kind of communication letting you know that people are out there and where they are. Because if you had to make a fire, if there was a catastrophic event, you had to make a fire or something like that, you don't want to burn up all your fuel, which talking about wood, whatever, you don't want to burn all of it up and nobody see it. So if you know that someone's at hand, there's helicopters in a particular area, of course, you can hear that. But sometimes, you know, depending on your location, it sounds like they're close when really they aren't. And unless you have some type of signaling device or something like that, they may not see you at all. So there's certain things that you could do on survivability. I've got a survivor instructor that's going to be on my show in the upcoming weeks, and he'll talk more about it. What about communications? Communications like a weather radio is a good thing to have. Communications like a CB radio. I still have a CB from many, many years ago. It's still very operational and it can be used. What about ham radios? You could go out prepping. Talking about preparation, you can go out and become a ham radio operator. Ham radio operator and the distance that a lot of these travel because of the repeaters, Mount Mitchell being one of them, you'll be able to transmit a great distance and they'll be able to hear calls of the repeaters like that. A lot of those family radio service type radios, they have a short transmission range. So even though it's great and maybe somebody will pick it up, unless they're within a good, you know, a good distance from you, a short distance from you, they may not at all hear what's going on. So you want to try to, you know, stay in contact. It's, you know, nothing, you know, something is better than nothing. If that's all you got, that's all you can afford to get, that's fine. Hopefully somebody will hear you that's on some of the frequencies. And a lot of them are multi-frequencies. So you want to be able to change those from one frequency to another, transmit for, you know, a couple of minutes and then wait. Just don't keep transmitting because you're going to draw the energy of your battery down. So, you know, transmit over a bit, wait 10, 15 minutes, transmit again. Once an hour, you may want to transmit depending on the battery power that you got. Speaking of batteries, I always carry extra batteries with me for my radios, for anything that that I carry with me. We'll talk about some of the other stuff in just a moment. But absolutely, 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 you need to carry, you know, have fresh batteries. Don't already have it installed in your radios and such, letting it sit around for weeks or months at a time, not needing it. And then when you do need it, you open it up and the alkaline batteries, the Duracells or whatever has maybe leaked, maybe exploded inside because of heat or something like that. And now it's ruined the radio. Now you can't even use the radio, even if you put fresh batteries in it. So, you know, stay alert to that as you go along. I'm also going to talk about firearms. Firearms is very important. Let me back up just for a second. That radio, one of the radios that I carry with me, it not only has the AM and the FM frequency, it has the television frequencies, television 1 and 2. It's not like I'm going to be streaming something, some kind of movie or anything like that. But your local stations transmit on a certain frequency range that's picked up by a lot of these radios as TV 1, TV 2. So your channel 2s and 3s and 5s and 7s and 12s and 13s and such as that usually are picked up on these lower energy, not lower energy, but these lower level station transmission ranges, and you would be able to pick that up. And that way you all can also know what's going on. Mine also has a air frequency on it, which you can hear both airplanes or jets, your local, let's see, your local airports that you got on it, helicopters, those kind of frequency ranges are also on it. Some people have scanners. They still make scanners out there. You have to get it with the frequency range or levels it's going to pick up. A lot of them have super digitized frequencies. There's some that are encoded, scrambled type frequencies. There are some that has, you know, have your 800, 900 frequency ranges that are out there that a lot of them transmit on. Some still transmit some areas depending on the your department and what type of radio frequencies they have for law enforcement, first responders, the medical personnel, EMS, the firefighters, all of them, they have a particular frequency range as well. I have a number of different communication radios that I have that's available to me in the event that some catastrophic event takes place. I also have a ham radio, 2 meter type radio that it doesn't cost that much, and it really doesn't cost that much to go through and at least get a technician's licensing from the FCC to be able to be a ham operator. So there's a lot of stuff that's available. Now let's go to guns. When you're talking about maybe defending yourself, you know, there's a lot of events that has been taking place here of late, being able to protect yourself. Know this, especially with everyday carry, like here in the state of North Carolina. State of North Carolina says as long as you legally own the firearm and legally own the ammunition and you're not a convicted felon, then you can use, own, and carry a firearm. Now, you can't carry concealed. There's a law on that, and you have to have a special permit for it. But in the state of North Carolina, you can open carry. There are other states that you can open carry in as well. In response to the gun, make sure the gun is operational. Make sure the gun is clean. Make sure that you have an adequate amount of ammunition for your gun. Make sure you know how to use it. Make sure that you're safe with the gun. Because if all of those factors aren't there, the potentials of someone getting hurt or killed accidentally or negligently, increases, quite a bit. So you just absolutely don't want that to happen. So if you're going to open carry a gun, I suggest or recommend you go to a qualified, a certified firearms instructor like that 3 times and get yourself trained up in the handgun that you might be carrying. Now, there's other guns. You don't have to have a permit for a long gun like a rifle or shotgun. But those particular guns, by state law, should not be something that is concealed. That would be in violation of the North Carolina law. Now, something that happened, we talk about everyday carry, something that happened down in Jefferson Parish and the New Orleans area following Hurricane Katrina is that they had what's called martial law. And in martial law, they took it upon themselves to declare it, number one. Number two, that they would remove any handguns, firearms, long guns, whatever, from people who were carrying. They found this as being a threat when actually it wasn't. It was the good people that they took these guns from, not the thuglings and the criminals and all those who were out there that were going to shoot up the place, rob and steal and like that. And I just had a conversation with someone here a couple of 3 or 4 days ago on looting. Now, looting is against the law. Breaking into a place is against the law. Breaking into a residence, breaking into a building is against the law, first and foremost. And when you talk about looting and you break in and say, well, I did it because we needed food and such as that. Well, quite honestly, that is against the law. And there are other provisions out there. It may be a couple of 2 or 3 days into it, but there are other provisions in there for water and food. Now, for these people who are breaking in looting, let me ask you a question. If you're a thugling and you're doing that, are you leaving them a message to let them know, I'm feeding my family, my apologies, I'm feeding my family, here's a note, as soon as I get back up on my feet, I'll pay you back? No, they're not. They're absolutely not. And, oh, by the way, and all the shiny things that are in there with it, my wife would say, all the money that's in the cash registers, all of the lottery tickets and stuff like that, oh, you just happen to need that as well, aside from the booze or wines or whatever that you needed just to get by. I don't think so. That's called looting. You should be arrested. You should be locked up. And in some cases, people will shoot you. So you may want to think about what you're doing before you do it. And if you end up dead, I'm sorry about that. Moving on, let's talk about everyday carry again. So not only do we carry maybe what's in our pockets, what's in maybe a small little bug out bag that has certain things in it as well. And you could really load them up. You can have small bug out bags, little shoulders type bags. You can have little backpacks that are ready to go that has everything. And it should be that way. You should have it packed and ready to go. It should be in your car, locked and secured or whatever in your car, just in case you need it. A lot of these people that are driving around in their cars now, and they think, well, my car is going to make it through. Well, it doesn't take much to flood your car. Doesn't take much water to float your car. Doesn't take much for you to be taken into a deeper area floating and there be something take place. You had a Houston officer, God bless him, lost his life just for that. And he was a trained responder. And there's no second guessing. There's no back, armchair quarterback type of thing on that. These things happen. And it happened to a family of six, and it happened to a number of other people as well. Don't place yourself in a position where you get out into some kind of flooded water and you may not make it out. You may be even a strong swimmer, but certain things happen. Certain events have taken hypothermia. Just a number of things can take you under that water. You get trapped. You get trapped in some type of drainage system, and it pulls you under. It's done it many times before. I pray it never happens to you. Think about a pack that you would carry with you as well that is food-related, a food-related style pack. I've got a five-day provision pack that I have both for myself and my wife. I have these ready and available to go at any time something happens. It's for 5 days. It's 5 days of food provisions like that. And basically, if I needed to stretch it out a little bit, I'm sure I could. There's water in it. There's containers of water that I have with it as well. There's 5 days worth of food, three meals a day. I could stretch it to two meals a day or even one meal a day and survive if it were necessary for me to do that. A lot of people don't even have that. A lot of people don't even think this out. They go swarm to the grocery stores and the convenience stores, curb markets, whatever you want to call it, your Walmarts, wherever. They go swarm to those and go buy up a whole bunch of provisions and things that they're going to need. And then what? Back in 2003, we had an event that took out the whole northeast coast of the United States, pretty much all of them, and parts of Canada. Now, my wife and I lived in Canada at the time, working up in the country of Canada. And one afternoon, a Friday afternoon, it was 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, all the lights went out. Everything went out. Traffic lights went out. Bank ATMs went out. Businesses went out. Homes went out. Everything. Everything went out. And people getting off of school, getting off of work on that particular day, it was July or August of that year, they had to make it home. Then over the next 2 and 3 days, depending on your location, you had to survive. You couldn't go to the store to pump gas. You couldn't go to the store to go buy food. You couldn't go to the store to the bank to get money out for anything else. There was no restaurants, no nothing open. What do? You have to survive. So, for myself, my wife, we had food put back anyway. I've always been a 5 to 10% person on surviving. And we had stuff put back. We used a Coleman stove. We used a grill outside. We had ice stored back and cold things stored back. And we used what was going to be going bad first. And then things that we could pull out of cans and stuff we could do afterwards. But we had backup propane for our grill. We had backup canisters, little butane stuff that we used for stoves and all that stuff. So we were set. But there were some people that absolutely did not have anything. We had a garden going. We could do things from our garden, cut things from our garden. And that's part of not so much everyday carry, but everyday preparation. So a lot of things that were associated with that. What about if you were out and about and something happened and you needed to take a pack, or you were driving home one night, lost control of a vehicle because of snow or water on the roadway or whatever, and went off an embankment? What do you have with you then? I've heard people living on drinking their own urine. I've heard of people drinking a little caps of water over a period of several days just to help keep them alive, munching on Nutri-Grain bars and stuff like that to keep them alive. What about a first aid kit? What kind of first aid kit do you have with you for basic emergency medical attention to yourself or to someone else in your party? Have you taken first aid? When you talk about everyday carry, you should have some kind of medical bag with you, and I do. I have a trauma type kit with me. I was an EMT for many years ago. I took first aid in both the military and in law enforcement, so I'm very versed in that. But I always have a kit with me or something like that in the event something takes place that we could do that. What about iodine tablets? What about purification tablets? If you don't have extra water with you, what about some type of container that you could put on a camp stove or one of these little survival emergency collapsible camp stoves that you can do and have solid fuel tablets with you that you can carry with you for that? What about some of these purification sticks like Life Straw, which is a personal water filter that you have? When you talk about everyday carry, that may not be something you want to strap on your back and carry to you to the office and such as that. But if you have that extra bag that's specifically for maybe medical, specifically for food, for water, whatever like that, that's with you in case something happens. Tornado hits, earthquake hits, whatever. You've got to be able to survive until you get rescued. Now, there are people being rescued now, lost everything, absolutely lost everything. I have a question for you. And there's no armchair quarterback here and stuff like that. If I know something's coming, if there's enough news stations and Twitter stations and Facebook and all like that and friends notification and yes, I'm safe and I can check in, which is great tools to have. But I don't need the federal government. I don't need anybody to tell me to get out of harm's way. If you even think that you need to get out of harm's way, you should. Oh, well, we were here. The floods, the water started dropping down, and it started rising again. Well, maybe because the Corps of Engineers or somebody had to release some water pressure somewhere, and it had to drain wherever it drained to. You need to keep those radios going. You need to keep them charged up, extra batteries, to stay in contact with what's going on to help get you out of harm's way. But nobody should have to tell you to get out of harm's way but yourself. Don't wait for things to happen. Don't wait for catastrophes to happen, flooding to happen while you're there. Start thinking about it. Prepare for it. Put money back as well. Put cash money back in case an event happens. I don't care if it's $10 a week, $5 a week, whatever it is. When you're talking about getting survival provisions, prepper provisions, stuff like that, put $5 an extra a week into something like either savings or $10 a week or something like that into some type of savings, or buy extra of this, extra of that, extra whatever that you think you need in case an event happens. My wife's going out today. She's going out shopping to get extra provisions in case this Hurricane Irma hits the Carolina coast. Now, I don't live on the coast. It takes a lot of flooding to get where I'm at right now at 2,100 and some odd feet above sea level. It would take a lot of flooding for that to happen. But there are rivers and stuff around where we live at. There are creeks around where we live at that can flood. You know, you talk about things, oh, well, we never need flood insurance. Everywhere that I've lived where I have been in a flood zone, we've had flood insurance. I can assure you of that. What about fires? You had all these fires and stuff take place. Do you have insurance and do you have your documents ready to go in case of a fire? If somebody, you talk about Gatlinburg and Sevierville and all those areas like that, that had, and maybe not Sevierville, but the areas over there, and even in western North Carolina here, the fires taking place and took out many, many structures. Some were man-made. Some these punks started the fire, and then others were natural fires. And with all of that in mind, all of that that takes place, are you prepared with an everyday carry, whatever, to get yourself out of there? Now, I know we're coming up. We got about 15 minutes left in the show. So I want to finish this up. We're going to talk about some of the upcoming shows that we got as well. What about toilet tissue? man, if you got to go, man, woman, whoever, kid, whatever, if you got to go, you got to go. You better have some toilet tissue as backup as well. Part of what my wife's buying today is extra TT paper, because that's something that you truly, honestly need. You know, the first aid kits we talked about, how about soap? How about something to wash your hands, stuff like that? Because you can get really sick if you get in these areas and stuff like that. And this water, you know, I mean, they talked about flooding with the Houston Hurricane Harvey, and that the sewage and that the fecal matter in the water that's floating around. Something you gotta think about and take care of. You can make it through the flood and die of sickness because you caught something in being in contaminated areas and waters and such. Think about the buildings that you're in. Think about what it is that your particular company does that may fail in the event that electricity goes out. When you talk about this chemical plant over there that's going bad. Think about buying up gasoline and filling your tanks at the first. I don't mean go panic on me. I mean, I've went through the gas shortages back in the you know, 70s and stuff like that. So I know about gas lines. And if you had a license plate and it had a certain number on it, even numbers one day, odd numbers the next, I remember doing all that. But, you know, talk about gassing up your vehicle. Of course, the timeliness of this Hurricane Harvey went in concert with the long Labor Day weekend. And of course, gas prices go up long Labor Day weekend. Now they've really boosted it up even more. And if there's people out there gouging people for water, for food, for shelter, for being able to stay there because, you know, you're not in the affected area, if they're gouging you for gasoline and stuff like that, report them. Absolutely report them. When you talk about everyday carry, everyday preparedness, you know, that's the kind of thing that it shouldn't be. Report them. It's going to cost them some money if they were found to have done that. So report them, document, whatever. Let somebody know that these people are taking advantage of these displaced victims that are all out there. Think about your flashlight. Think about getting a good flashlight that you got. I happen to have a couple of tack lights, exceptional flashlights. You can see quite a ways. Also, you can go to like places like Home Depot and Lowe's and places along that lines. You can put those head-styled ones on. You can get ball caps, whatever, but it's a headlamp that you can put on. When we were down in Mississippi area, Louisiana areas, following the hurricane, we would walk around, especially on duty at nighttime, and there would be water moccasins and alligators and all kinds of critters that are out there. They found a 9-foot alligator in someone's home just yesterday, last night, whatever, within the last 24 hours or so, in someone's dining room in their home. If you're able to get back to your home, you may want to check it out for critters, spiders, snakes, you know, rabid animals, whatever like that. Also, when you're talking about animals, take your pet with you. Please take your pet with you. Find if you can't stay where you go, have to go, then find a place for your pet as well. Don't leave your pet to fend for themselves. Myself, the team I was with, the people that we were with went in countless homes, countless places down in like New Orleans and Waveland, Mississippi. Waveland, Mississippi had a 35-foot storm surge go through there. Think about everyday carry and bug out then when a 35-foot storm surge comes through your town. It rolled. I watched it. I didn't watch it when it happened, but I've seen the after effects of it. That wave rolled not a locomotive, but a boxcar several feet away from the tracks as it came in. It demolished homes. You talk about critters. They're displaced. The alligators and snakes are displaced. They're probably quite pissed off as well because they were displaced. And you should. Hopefully, you're not a victim of it. I've seen these big pictures of fire ants over in Texas. I've been bitten by a group of fire ants before. I know it hurts, and I can't imagine having thousands of those critters getting on you at one time. We had a military soldier one year. He laid his bunk out in the middle of the night, laid his bunk out in his sleeping bag on the ground of a area that we moved into, got into a fire ant's nest. He was definitely allergic to it, and he actually died because of being stung by all these fire ants. So you have to be very concerned and very wary about that. I remember after Hurricane Ike, the mosquitoes, I think they called them tiger mosquitoes, were out. I mean, they took chunks out of you. I'm just kind of exaggerating a little, but it felt like they took chunks out of you. And all of the communicable diseases, or the diseases that are associated with that, that could be a threat to the population. I mean, they're going to carry the West Nile virus or some of the other stuff that's going along. You have to be worried about that. Rabid animals that may be displaced as well. So all of these things you really have to just take into consideration as well. So think about what it is that you need, the food that it is. Make a pack. You can go to Amazon.com and you can probably buy up these survival packs. There's a lot of ads on TV to buy up food for, you know, X amount of time, good for 25 years. I mean, you know, that's a great thing to have that kind of stuff just available to you in some types of containers that if you had to get out quick, you could throw it in the back of your vehicle, throw it in the back of your pickup truck or whatever, and get out pretty quickly. Don't forget those important documents as well. So, you know, I've covered off a lot here. I've covered off things about guns, multi-tools that's with you, can openers that you might need to have with you, radios, communications, firearms, flashlights, fire starter, batteries, water. Water straws, those life straws, personal filtration systems, again, the food, just a number of things. Think about your kids. Think about your kids that are with you. Do you have a survival pack for yourself? Do you have it for your significant other? Do you have it for your children if you have children or elderly people in your family? Have they got, you know, X amount of days provision? Oh, you hear somebody say, oh, you only need about 3 days. Well, I've seen people weeks in that still needed provisions because of their remote locations and such as that, and trying to get rescued. Think about your animals. Take your animals with you. Make sure they have, you know, several days worth of provisions as well. Water for them, medications for them if they take medications. Don't leave them in the house to fend for themselves. It's not going to be pretty when you come back. Because a dog, you know, or a cat or bird or whatever, they can't fend for themselves. They need human contact and human interaction with them as well. So I'm kind of stepping away from my table here. It has my kind of a show and tell moment with all the stuff that I've been talking about this morning. When you're talking about certain things as well, I'm going to read you something. It's called Lessons Learned. And this is something that I wrote several nights ago, and just to talk about certain things that happen. This is called Lessons Learned, Be Prepared by Dan Meadows. There have been many lessons that we as a people have learned throughout history. Of course, here lately, there are some who wish to eliminate the history from all references and remembrances. Now, there's good, bad, and ugly in everything that we've done. But you tend to learn from things like that. So, however, society learns from our past experiences and our past mistakes. And as I mentioned a moment ago, good, bad, or ugly. In 2004, the American Red Cross publicized that only 20% of Americans felt very prepared for a catastrophic event. Only 20%. However, many of you, you know, may or may not have been prepared even for this last hurricane that came through, or even the ones before that. Think about what percentile or what percentage you were for a catastrophic event. Real world estimates from people who truly understands the beast or the nature of catastrophes believes that those numbers are truly only about 5 to 10% of Americans are prepared. Are you in that 5 to 10% bracket of preparedness? And if you're not, why not? You should be. This unfortunately will not be the last hurricane on the horizon. I mentioned Hurricane Irma earlier. There's going to be others that will come about. And some people say, oh, yeah, great. We're going to have some work because we can do security in these areas, stuff like that. A lot of security, a lot of rebuilding goes on as well. But we're talking about getting out to begin with. Hurricanes, tornadoes, all of that stuff, fires, whatever, that should always concern us. There's earthquakes, there's floods, there's tornadoes, fires. There's even violence in the street. There's looting. There's destructions of buildings in our towns. And there's a lot more beyond that. You know, we've also had, and we're talking about even this morning on the news, the threats and the potentials of nuclear threats. Well, let me let you in on a secret. We've always had that threat there. Be prepared. What if an EMP happens? Electromagnetic pulse type thing happens, knocks out the electronics and everything. Think about where you would be and what you would do. Most of you can't even go without a few minutes without twittering or tweeting on your phone. So think about that. As a human being, we should always demonstrate compassion for our fellow men, women, and children. We should show respect and understanding for one another, regardless of the colors of our skin. We must demonstrate and feel real empathy for what others are going through, and we must somehow show love for our neighbors and our fellow Americans. We show love for other people in the world as well, but let's hope that they show love back to us. That should be a key thing to think about. These are things I suggest and highly recommend. We've got about 3 minutes left in the show. Be prepared for whatever might come your way. Plan for the good, the bad, and the ugly. Pray if you're so inclined to do so. Help one another, whether you are affected or not by current catastrophic events. Be respectful. Be kind to one another. Always be ready for anything, because life is a constant struggle. When you're in these kind of events, it is a constant struggle until you can get on the other side and start rebuilding and putting your lives back together. Stay safe, stay armed, and stay vigilant. Bad people are out there. There are people who are dressing up saying they are from the government. It's time to get out. And while you're packing and getting out and you leave, they'll come in and rob your place, take your provisions, the things that you've worked for. And so even if your place isn't flooded, isn't involved in the floods or the catastrophe that's going on, when you come back, you're going to have been looted and robbed of your belongings. Always, you need to survive the threat. Put that in your mind. Always survive the threat. You know, I ask you, may God always keep you safe and bless you all. That's part of the thoughts that I wanted to kind of end this with. We're coming up on the end of our show. Our next show is Friday, September the 8th at approximately 6:30. It's going to be on concealed carry, rules of engagement for the armed citizen. This is Dan Meadows. We're going to probably have a call in on that day as well. I've got my 90-second cue, and it's time to go out. So I want you to be armed, be prepared, be ready. Think about your everyday carry, and be kind to one another. God bless and take care. Thank you for coming to the Tap Three Times Radio Show, and see you next time.